Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, such a deal for you. This is Wretched Radio. Today, it's Big Savings Day, courtesy of you, sir.
Stephen Lawson.
That's the fellow right there.
All right.
Dr. Steve Lawson, I don't know what sin you committed, what sort of crime or felony that you have.
That would be in the plural, sins.
That have got you in studio with us today, because we want to do something that I truly believe could change the American church.
Yes.
I mean it.
Yes. For everyone to watch Wretched?
No. Well, okay, that would help. But this is a big deal. This is something that I believe that every individual who goes to a church should gift to their pastor. Mm. This alone could be a thing that changes the way churches preach around the globe. How's that for a setup for your little magazine
please
here?
Please tell me, what is this that will change the world? I must know. Speak. Your servant listens.
Hey, it's Expositor Magazine. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I have heard of it.
All right, now, I'm seriously, I am not kidding about this.
You're serious.
I read this magazine, the first edition of it,
yes.
And I went, this is a game changer. This is a total, complete game changer. And if every pastor were reading this, those who are doing expository preaching would be encouraged and sharpen their skills, and those who aren't would. This is a game changer. Dr. Steve Lawson, who happens to be the Grand Poobah, I read it on the curriculum vitae. Is it vita or vitae? Curricula vitae. You know your Latin. You're the president of One Passion Ministries.
I am, sir, and the editor of this magazine.
Which is Expositor Magazine, a publication of One Passion Ministries. If you are not persuaded that you should gift this magazine to your pastor, Dr. Lawson, you are going to help us do that.
Yes.
Start out by grading, in your opinion, preaching in America today, A, B, C, D, or F.
Oh, I would, big picture, I would give it maybe a D minus.
Ooh.
A D minus.
Ooh.
Yeah. I would say the exception is a man who walks into the pulpit and opens a Bible, and everything that he has to say comes from the Bible. And that he actually knows how to accurately interpret the Bible, give the authorial intent of that passage, and know how to apply it to show its relevance in the life of the listener and to exhort them and encourage them to take action based upon what this text requires. How few pastors do this and do it in an understandable way, do it where it's not a lecture, but actually is a sermon. And so this magazine is really designed to sharpen the skills of the man who stands before an open Bible and stands before the people of God to help them be more effective in preaching the Word of God. And that is job number one. The last thing Paul said to Timothy before the Apostle Paul gave his life unto death, he said, preach the Word. That's job number one. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, exhort with much patience and instruction. And so nothing has changed over the last 2,000 years. Yet go into the average church and the pastor has become director of activities. He has become manager, marketer. He has become everything except a bona fide preacher of the Bible. And so this magazine is completely devoted to sharpening the skills from every different direction, from your sermon preparation to knowing how to interpret Scripture to knowing how to deliver a sermon, as well as setting forth models from past centuries of great preachers who serve really as an example to us how to preach the Word.
Now, here is a sign that a sermon is going to go south. I've got this. You can use this in your next Expositor magazine.
Okay.
This one, it's mine. You don't even need to give me credit for this.
Okay.
if a pastor begins the sermon with these three words with this tone, you're in big trouble. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Good morning, church! Right?
Yeah.
Why would a congregation be in trouble?
Because he's an entertainer. He's not an expositor. He's into drama, not the unfolding drama of redemption. He makes it on the sizzle, not on the steak. He makes it really on the delivery, not on his doctrine. So it's really a show if someone starts that way, or to start the sermon this way. You know, I was in the shower this morning. The Lord spoke to me.
Oh, boy.
And I just would like to share this with everybody.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, if he'd have said, turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the place would have cobwebs, you know, in the building. But when he says, the Lord spoke to me this morning, everybody flips open their pad of paper. They're ready to write this down. You know you're in big trouble.
All right. But on having said that.
Yes.
How's about this as the opposite malady?
Okay.
Good morning, church. How's about that guy? That's a problem too, right?
Yeah. Oh, he is a snoozer. I mean, he is putting the church asleep. There's no energy. There's no dynamic. There is no passion. There's no sense of urgency. There's no fervency. And so he too is a liability to the church, because he is really the bland leading the bland. He is so boring in the pulpit that people are having to take no-dos in order to stay awake during the sermon.
So the pastor who is zippy and the pastor who is sleepy, both extremes are not what should be happening in a pulpit or a plexiglass stand.
No.
So tell me, what is the difference then between delivering a sermon with passion and either being obnoxious and an entertainer,
yeah,
or just a hellfire preaching in the caricature sense of it?
Well, the word passion, if you took the Oxford English Dictionary and looked up the word passion, the number one definition you would read, and by the way, that's the standard for the English language, it is the passion of Christ as he is hanging on the cross. And as he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood. The word passion means that you believe something so deeply in the depth of your soul that the message literally bleeds out of you. It comes from the core of your being, and you are willing to suffer for that message. The second meaning of passion is the martyrdom of the martyrs, as they went to the stake and were put to death by Bloody Mary and many others, their convictions were so deeply rooted in them that they would not renounce what they have preached, and they were willing to die for what they have preached and seal it with their own blood. That's really the idea of passion. And there are a couple of words that I think further describe it, and it is fervency. And that comes out with different personalities in different ways. But the idea is there is an intensity that comes through your voice and comes through even your face and your countenance and your gestures, your whole being, that people understand that you're a man on a mission. And that you have a message from God, and that the listener must pay attention to this, and they must act decisively upon what the Word of God has to say. And there's a sense of urgency that you must respond now, this very moment, to what the Word of God requires of you. An entertainer is just someone who's trying to fill the building, but he never fills the pulpit. He never brings the Word of God into the pulpit. He makes it on shtick rather than upon the message of salvation and sanctification. So there is a clear demarcation between the entertainer and the expositor.
Now, the thing that I would like to pursue with you is that little phrase you snuck in there. It looks different with every different personality. Mm-hmm. Don't respond yet. But to sum up a difference between preaching and lecturing, preaching mm-hmm. and entertaining, was it Martin Lloyd-Jones who was asked the question? You know the story?
Yeah. Well, a young man came to Martin Lloyd-Jones and said, Dr. Lloyd-Jones, can you tell me the difference between teaching and preaching? And Lloyd-Jones, with that dry British sarcasm, said, young man, if you have to ask me the difference between teaching and preaching, it is obvious that you've never heard preaching.
That is the point of this magazine, Expositor Magazine. So here's the deal that we have got for you. If you order this for your pastor now, a subscription for a year, this thing's way too cheap, and I'm not being cheesy about that. It's so underpriced.
I know, you've told me that before.
Get this subscription, send it to your pastor, and then we will also send the person who purchases it for their pastor, Drive-By Theology, featuring... Oh, who is the guy on there?
Your humble servant.
Steve Lawson is on there, too. This is a time right now. So this is just for you to give to your pastor. Get Expositor Magazine for him at wretched.org/magazine. Wretched.org/magazine. Do that now. We will be back with Dr. Steve Lawson.
Thank you for being here today. We truly do appreciate that you spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. Did you know there's an amazing, fantastical place where you can find all things Wretched? It's our Wretched website at wretched.org. You will find complete 60-minute Wretched radio episodes, 30-minute Wretched TV episodes, the Wretched store, of course, with over 40 amazing resources, from Jesus Unmasked and Drive-By False Teaching to our newest evangelistic booklet, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. It's all waiting for you at the Wretched store. And make sure you check out the Wretched Library. That's where we put some hand-picked videos on topics ranging from abortion and pneumatology to marriage and evangelizing. Thanks to our gospel partners for making all things Wretched, including wretched.org, possible. Are you able to partner with us to continue to make Wretched available to everyone? Then visit wretched.org/donate. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If and you are a preborn.org/wretched supporter, providing ultrasounds and even ultrasound machines, this is a great big thank you from South Florida.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room because our mission is to save lives, save souls in South Florida. And in this very room, that specific thing happens. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way. Thank you for your ministry to the unborn.
Ultrasounds save lives, but preborn clinics need ultrasound machines first. If you could provide a machine or if you could provide a $28 ultrasound, whatever it is, your support for preborn, it saves lives, it saves souls, it saves families. You can become a preborn supporter at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Don't know about you, but during these hard and difficult times, I'm getting really tired of hearing about these hard and difficult times. So, for some much-needed distraction, might I suggest a visit to the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org. There you can find full-length Wretched TV episodes, full-length hour-long Wretched radio shows, and the Wretched store for all things of the biblical resources bent. While you're there, you can also become a gospel partner. Without the support of our Wretched Gospel partners, you wouldn't be hearing my voice because, honestly, there would be no Wretched. Your giving allows Wretched to stay on the air and to reach people with the gospel each and every day. If you are already a gospel partner, please know that we are extremely grateful for you. And if you are not, would you consider becoming one? Visit wretched.org or wretched.org/donate for all the details on becoming a gospel partner. wretched.org/donate. It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. TheMissionBall.org.
Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Does your pastor bring the heat? This is Wretched Radio with Dr. Steve Lawson in studio, the editor of Expositor Magazine, also the president of One Passion Ministries, on a mission to change the pulpits everywhere because, well, your concern is they're not preaching. They might be teaching. They might be lecturing. They might be putting on a show. But your contention is they're not preaching. And here's what I'd like to explore with you now, Dr. Lawson. You have said that a pastor must bring some passion, some fervency to the message, and yet with their own personality.
Mm-hmm.
When you preach, you're kind of a lion. Not every guy is like you.
Right.
Can somebody be softer spoken? Maybe not as, they don't use their voice as inflexibly as you do. Can they still be an effective preacher?
I would say yes, to a point. They cannot be monotone. And they cannot be just a straight line, because that's not really preaching. The word preaching comes from a Greek word, caruso, which was used of the herald who was dispatched from the palace of the emperor, who would travel to the perimeter of the Roman Empire and go into a village and gather the people around him. And he would cup his hands and lift his voice and say something like this, hear ye, this day. Rome has won a great victory. Another kingdom is annexed into the empire. Or he would say something like this, hear ye, this day. Caesar has a son. There's an heir to the throne. You cannot deliver a heralding message like that with a library inside voice. There needs to be a dynamic that emerges from the depth of your soul that just comes out even in the tone and the trajectory with which you speak. Now, you do not have to be loud like someone else, though you may be. Obviously, even with a loud voice, there needs to be fluctuation, like the ocean goes in and out and out. But for the guy who, for the preacher who comes across as rather quiet, he may need to either examine, am I really called to preach? Or should I just be in a classroom teaching? Or do I need to pray that God gets a hold of my heart and that there is a greater burden and a greater sense of responsibility before the Lord to deliver this message as though I really believe this message? Todd, I remember one day when I was in seminary, we have to preach to one another and the professor is grading us. And I remember that there was a fellow student who was up preaching to the class, and it started off slow, and then it tapered.
Uh-oh.
And
yeah.
Then it tapered off. I mean, this thing
went down from there.
It went down from there. This message was going nowhere fast. And the professor comes back out of the little sound booth and stops in the middle of the sermon and says, "You don't believe that." And the guy goes, "Well, I do." He goes, "No, you don't believe that." Well, the guy finally got worked up and said, "I do believe that," and kind of pounded the desk in front of us. And the professor said, "Great, now go back up into the pulpit and preach like that, like you really believe it, where you're not just standing there reading your notes to us." So what I would say is everyone needs to find their own voice and know their own temperament and personality. But whatever that is, it needs to be doused with the power of the Holy Spirit. And for the words to have penetrating power into the hearts of people, and you come across like you really believe this.
Is it possible that hearing messages like that in print, which you can't actually do, but the point is your entire magazine dedicated to that subject, to the content of sermons, to the preparation of the sermons, mm-hmm. in Expositor Magazine, if your pastor could use some encouragement, and every
sure.
pastor can, whether they're an expositor or not, this magazine will help them to be sharper and to bring some passion to their preaching. We would like to make you an offer. You can't refuse. Visit wretched.org/magazine. Get a subscription sent to your pastor, and we will send to you, Dr. Steve Lawson, Drive-By Theology. So the person who orders it gets Drive-By Theology, our gift, and their pastor gets Expositor Magazine to be encouraged to bring some heat.
Yes. Can I add one thing to that?
You may.
I think every elder and every deacon in a church would be greatly helped to read this, to understand what is it that God has called our pastor to do. It's one thing for the pastor to understand, but he needs men around him in his church who are holding him up and praying for him to be this very man. And there are also young men in the church who are giving careful consideration to God's will and God's calling for their life. And they need to know what they would be stepping into if they were to surrender their life to the call of God and to step forward and to preach the Word of God. That this is a great primer so that they can begin to have an understanding, what is it that God is calling me to do? It's laid out in this magazine. In fact, I have a whole issue here on just the call to the ministry. How would you know if you are called by God to preach?
You can get your copy for your pastor, for your elders, wretched.org/magazine, and you get Drive-By Theology, which is give or take 40 lectures.
Yeah, it was over 40. I remember that. I remember I spent a month with you one day.
It was
doing it.
We'll send that to you. You send this to your pastor, to your elders, wretched.org/magazine. When you are done preaching, now maybe this could just be me, and that is often the case. Maybe it's a glandular issue for me, but when I have an opportunity to preach, when I am done, I am wringing wet and wrung out.
Yes.
Is that normal, or do I just have some health issues?
Both.
Probably.
Yeah. No. Preaching, it doesn't take much of a man to be a preacher. It just requires all that there is of him. I mean, you throw your whole body and soul and heart into the preaching of the Word of God. And by the time you're finished, you're exhausted. I mean, they have wired up a preacher with an electrocardiogram test as he would preach, and it's the equivalent of like a 10-hour workday, just one 45-minute sermon, because he's literally investing his soul into the Word of God and into the people who are before him. And there is a sense of wrestling with the hearts of people as you preach to win them over to faith in Jesus Christ. So, yes, in fact, in my church that I pastored a couple of years ago, people would actually write in the margin of their notes 11:48 or 11:35, and it would be the time I took my jacket off during the sermon, because I'm just wringing wet even as I'm preaching. So you want to pour yourself into the preaching of the Word.
Recently, I heard of a preacher who said they stayed up all night because they had just preached at a conference. They stayed up all night, and they were so wound up that they just couldn't sleep. And I thought, well, that doesn't happen to me. I don't need a sleeping pill that night. If I preached before God, it would be like, put me down because I am exhausted from this. And I thought, how is it that a pastor can be like so energized? Shouldn't the opposite be true? You're spent.
Yeah, you're talking about after you preach?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, you are spent. And for years, Todd, every Monday morning at 4 o'clock, I woke up with a migraine headache.
Because you were thinking so hard the day before.
Well, because, yeah, but preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and teach Sunday school, three different preparations, and to deliver those just leaves you, almost you feel like you're in the valley of the shadow of death. As you pull out of something like a tailspin. But there is no greater pleasure than Sunday night after you have preached and to go back to your home and just collapse in a chair and know that you have given your all to God and that you have felt His pleasure as you have expended yourself in the preaching of the Word. One Greek word, agonizomai, comes into the English language, agony. And the idea is that you labor to the point of exhaustion, that you have nothing left to give. And I can definitely relate to that experience, and I'm sure that you can as well, and other pastors. But the point is that it requires a total, complete sacrifice of yourself, mentally, emotionally, physically, at every level.
And what this, for whatever this is worth, it's interesting because I can stand here and talk on radio for 3 hours a day, not a problem.
Yeah.
Preaching 3 hours, you would have to take me to the morgue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it just absolutely demands all from you. Expositor Magazine, please consider getting copier copies for your pastor or elders because it will encourage him to be a preacher on fire with his own personal expression, and it will equip him to do it. And it'll also help your church to understand what it is that he is to be about, because his Sunday sermon, that is the highlight of the church calendar week. Expositor Magazine, wretched.org/magazine, wretched.org/magazine. Order copy or copies for him or your elders, and we will send you Dr. Steve Lawson. Not like the Book of Judges, but on Drive-By Theology, we will send that to you. So your pastor gets this, you get that. It's such a good deal. Please consider doing that now. This is a game changer. wretched.org/magazine. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. In a landmark decision for the LGBT community, the U.S. Supreme Court today ruled employers cannot fire someone merely for being gay or transgender under federal law. At issue was Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which makes it unlawful for an employer to fail or refuse to hire or to discharge any individual or otherwise to discriminate against any individual because of such individual's race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. Three LGBT individuals in Michigan, Georgia, and New York filed separate suits in federal court, arguing they were fired from their jobs for being gay or transgender, and asserting that sex in the Civil Rights Act encompasses sexual orientation and gender identity as well. The Supreme Court consolidated all the cases into one. The court, in their 6-3 decision, sided with the fired employees, Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Neil Gorsuch joining the court's liberal bloc in the majority. Gorsuch wrote the majority opinion saying, an employer who fires an individual merely for being gay or transgender defies the law. He acknowledged the authors of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 may not have had LGBT individuals in mind when they passed it, but the limits, he said, of the drafter's imagination supply no reason to ignore the law's demands. Justice Samuel Alito wrote a dissenting opinion signed by Justice Clarence Thomas. Justice Kavanaugh wrote his own dissenting opinion. Alito criticized the majority, saying the only word for what the court has done today, legislation. The document that the court releases is in the form of a judicial opinion interpreting a statute, but that's deceptive, he wrote. A more brazen abuse of our authority to interpret statutes is hard to recall. Gorsuch did cede that sex in the 1964 law does refer only to biological distinctions between male and female. Still, Gorsuch wrote, that's just a starting point. Question just isn't what sex meant, but what Title VII says about it. Alito also noted that Congress has considered bills adding sexual orientation and gender identity to the Civil Rights Act, but none of those proposals have passed both houses. Justice Alito also wrote, the court tries to convince readers that it is merely enforcing the terms of the statute, but that is preposterous. Even as understood today, the concept of discrimination because of sex is different from discrimination because of sexual orientation or gender identity. And in any event, our duty is to interpret statutory terms to mean what they conveyed to reasonable people at the time they were written. Alito adding, many will applaud today's decision because they agree on policy grounds with the court's updating of Title VII. But the question in these cases is not whether discrimination because of sexual orientation or gender identity should be outlawed. The question is whether Congress did that in 1964. It indisputably did not. And yet, here we are. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Mexican. Pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or manifestation, and He is God, the third member of the Trinity. His work is not to provide emotional highs or show up in glory clouds or gold dust. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Nine marks? Ha! We've got 11. This is Wretched Radio. In studio, Dr. Steve Lawson. You know him from Shepherd's Conferences, the conferences that you put on all around the country, teaching pastors how to be better preachers. Also, the editor, publisher, and in this episode, the sole author. Wow. You must have had some COVID downtime.
I did.
Of Expositor Magazine, a publication of One Passion Ministries. Would like for you to consider getting this for your pastor and or elders. And right now, if you do that at wretched.org/magazine, wretched.org/magazine, you get the copy for your pastor. We'll send you a digital download of Drive-By Theology, which is about 40 lectures you and I did on systematic theology. So it's a good deal is what it is.
It's a steal.
Their pastors, all pastors, need this magazine. In this particular issue, Delivering the Sermon, this one features Dr. John MacArthur, all people that they know, R.C. Sproul. You've even got some articles in past editions from this. You have got a number of, I'm thinking of Owen Strand from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary,
Very good kinds
of great authors in here. These are the distinguishing marks of effective delivery.
Yes.
Not nine, you've got 11, which is... Two more than nine.
Yes.
I'm going to share these with you, and then you tell me what they are. So this is your pastor's marks if he is delivering an effective sermon. Number one, humility.
Yes, every pastor must be under the authority of the Word of God and under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And as he delivers the sermon, he must come across as the servant of the Lord. And as a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not lording it over the people, and to convey in the message that he is a recipient of this message just as they are. He needs this message as much as they need this message.
Now, that has got to be a bit tricky, because you want to demonstrate you should actually ooze humility and yet preach with authority.
Yes.
So how does a guy accomplish both of those what appear to be extremes?
Yeah, well, God the Holy Spirit has to do that. I mean, you can't just psych yourself up to try to be both of those. It is something supernatural that God produces in the preacher. And by the way, true preaching is a supernatural dynamic. He must preach with authority, and that authority comes not from himself. The authority comes from the Word of God, the very message that he brings, as well as the authority of the one who has commissioned him, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so as he preaches, he's not scratching his chin and saying, well, it seems to me, or it could be. No, he is saying, thus says the Lord, and he is standing upon the authority of Scripture. The authority of Scripture that can bind the conscience, the authority of Scripture that can command response, the authority of Scripture that really dictates what we believe. The Scripture is not suggestions or opinions for us to consider. They are mandates from heaven for us to believe and to live and follow. So that must come through in the delivery.
And if a pastor before preaching is thinking, okay, don't forget to be humble. Don't forget to be humble. That's not the way it works. He already has been humbled.
Yes.
And then he preaches authoritatively, and nobody's confused that he's lacking the former because he does the latter.
Absolutely. In fact, the more humble he is, the more he will speak with the authority of God's word.
Mark number two of a pastor that is delivering a message with high marks. Here's number two. Authority. So we did that one. You jumped the gun. Now you just...
No, I followed your lead.
Number three.
Kind, sir.
This is a surprise.
Okay.
Simplicity.
Yeah.
I see, a good sermon. It's really lofty. The language is flourishing. And you have to connect the dots like you're playing the highlights game. But you're saying make it simple.
Yeah. You want to put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Now, we bring profound truth and transcendent doctrine, but we are to preach it in an understandable way. Simplicity is never overrated. And by that, we mean that it is easy to follow the thought pattern of the preacher. Great preaching is linear, from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, from A to B to C to D. Whether or not he says that in his mind, it is a straight line. It's not circular. So therefore, after the service is over, if the father asks the child, what did the preacher preach on today? The child could easily re-summarize the message and give an account for what he's heard.
So let's just say it's A, B, C, D are the points. Nevertheless, it's not about four subjects. It's about one subject.
Absolutely. Every sermon is a one-point sermon. You may have three homiletical headings, but there is one driving truth, one dominant idea, one main theme that is running through this passage and is running through your sermon. If you're trying to say five things, you're saying nothing. You're saying one thing with three or four different headings, like four legs on a table holding up the tabletop, but there's only one tabletop. And so there is one driving message that you are bringing.
Simplicity. Mark number four, accuracy.
Accuracy.
Sure, whatever. You're the smart guy.
Yeah,
you're
right.
You're the doctor.
Hey, thank you.
All right, accuracy in preaching.
Someone call me a doctor. Okay, you're a doctor.
Wouldn't it be kind of obvious that you're supposed to be accurate?
Yes, and by that I mean accuracy of interpretation of the text, accuracy in theology, accuracy in your words, accuracy in what you are saying. And accuracy is absolutely critical because that is the purity of the truth that you are preaching. So you've got to roll up your sleeves and do serious study in order to be accurate with the biblical text. You cannot play fast and loose with the Bible.
And if a sermon is done and the Bible verse was perhaps read up front, maybe, and it wasn't visited much thereafter.
Yeah.
That's a guy who's not being accurate.
No. He is masquerading really as a preacher, but in reality, he's just delivering his own stuff rather than it coming from the Bible. People need to be able to see where you are deriving your message from. They need to have a Bible open in front of them and follow along with you, and they see what you're saying, and they see where you're deriving this from, so that when they go home and they're sitting in their breakfast table the next morning, they can continue to hear the sermon in their remembrance as they're looking at this passage of Scripture.
It's not locked up from his experience or just from storytelling or from a Netflix movie. It's from the Bible. Number five, mark of a sermon that is delivered rightly, biblically, and well, fervency. It's got to have that behind it.
That's right. Passion, fervency. He comes across with a measure of intensity because he is so focused. He is a narrow in his focus upon this text and this message, and it comes out of him with an element of fire. The Puritans used to say there needs to be a fire in the pulpit, and a fire gives off two elements. It gives off light, and it gives off heat. And you cannot have one without the other. The light is the accuracy with which you are handling the text. People can see what you're saying in the light. But the fire also generates heat. And so as you are explaining the passage with light, you are to do so with the heat of deep convictions as you are speaking the truth.
Which means he has to be marinating in the text.
Oh, absolutely.
Personally, not just studying it, not just outlining it, but living it and breathing it, and then it comes flying out of him with some heat because he can't help it.
Absolutely. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said of John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, "Why, the man is a walking Bible. Prick him anywhere, and he bleeds bibline. Every preacher must be a walking Bible, and literally bleeds the message out of his innermost being as he preaches the Word of God."
That was the seventh mark, I believe we got to. Is that correct? Yeah. Seven, six. Do you know where they can find the rest of the marks of good preaching? That's right, sir, in this magazine. Expositor Magazine would like to encourage you, if you'd like to read things like this, and more importantly, perhaps have your pastor be reading things like this, please get him a copy, a subscription of Expositor Magazine. It's a publication of Dr. Steve Lawson's ministry, One Passion Ministry. And if you do it now, we will also send you Drive-By Theology, because we're that earnest about this.
Absolutely. So,
this is such a game changer. Your pastor will be affected by this in a positive way. Even if he's a solid expositor, he will grow and be sharpened. Get your copy, your subscription rather, wretched.org/magazine, wretched.org/magazine. And you get a gift of Dr. Steve Lawson with Drive-By Theology, wretched.org/magazine. We'll continue with you, whether you like it or not, Dr. Lawson, next on Wretched Radio.
Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Since Poetry Open Mic Night's been canceled, I thought I'd read you some wretched poems I've been working on. Become a gospel partner. That would be a delight. All you have to do is visit our website. Become a gospel partner. You'd be supporting this ministry if you'll just give to us financially. Become a gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate, or else we make you redo grade 8. Okay, listen, I never promised you'd be great, wretched poetry. After all, open mic night was canceled. But would you still please consider becoming a gospel partner? Every dollar you give helps Wretched continue to spread the gospel. And without our gospel partners, well, honestly, there is no Wretched. If you're already a gospel partner, thank you. Please know we are very grateful. And if you're not, visit wretched.org/donate and prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner today. Visit wretched.org/donate.
Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working, and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day. Literally every day, people are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
Important dates in Christian history. 1206. Francis of Assisi renounces wealth and goes on to lead a band of poor friars preaching the simple life. The 13th century, saw the rise of a number of monastic orders dedicated to simple living and social engagement. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ah, terrific. Yet another church growth scheme. This is Wretched Radio. In my hand, yet another effort to try to grow the church. Oh, wait a second. This is from you, Steve Lawson, joining us in studio with One Passion Ministries, also the editor of Expositor Magazine. Encourage you to get this for your pastor right now. I'm not kidding. Wretched.org/magazine. Get it for him. We'll also send you Drive-By Theology featuring Dr. Steve Lawson, How Expository Preaching Builds the Church. So this is your wacky church growth scheme right here. Is that what you got going on?
Yeah, we're doing it God's way.
But is it wrong to want to see the church grown? Because that's what the church is all about these days, church growth schemes.
Well, it would depend on what you mean by growth. There's a difference between a crowd and a congregation. So we're not talking about just more of something that is shallow and superficial. God's not into numbers. God is into quality. The Bible says that he will test the quality of each man's work, whether he built with gold, silver, and precious stones, or with wood, hay, and stubble. Would you rather have a handful of gold or a truckload of wood, hay, and stubble? It's not the size, it's the substance that matters to God. God would rather, quite frankly, have a smaller church that is a true church than a larger church that really misses the mark and does not really preach the word of God, but just entertains people. So, yes, we want church growth, but we want growth of a certain kind. We want spiritual growth before numerical growth. Now, we'll take numerical growth. We can read the book of Acts, and someone was keeping count with how many people were there. And so, praise the Lord, for as the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved, Acts 2:47. However, we want to grow the church God's way. And for a church to be grown God's way, there is what the Puritans referred to as the primary ordinary means of grace. And what is number one for the means of grace coming into the life of a church is the preaching of the Word of God. And so it really sets the agenda for everything that goes on in the church. The pulpit is to be the nerve center for the church as the Word is being preached.
And that grows maybe numerically.
Yes, absolutely.
But definitely in depth.
Yes.
And holiness and sanctification for the believers. This is a subject that you and I have been kind of bantering around as of late. I've been sharing with you an experience that I have virtually every day here on Wretched Radio. I get emails, and they will begin with two words: I'm scared. I'm scared I'm not saved. I'm afraid that I'm not growing in holiness. I'm concerned about the state of my salvation. Did I repent enough? And one of the things that you would say would help an individual who is wrestling with the issue of assurance is?
Sit under the strong preaching of the Word of God. Sit under expository preaching. Sit under doctrinally sound preaching. And that gives you the understanding of what took place in the new birth. It gives you an understanding of sanctification. It gives you an understanding of what is true assurance of salvation. And where does it come from? What are false marks of salvation? You have to know this, but not just even cognitively. It has to be penetrating into the depth of your soul through the preaching of the Word of God. This is God's means for people to live a healthy spiritual life. Todd, the Puritans used to ask this question: if you only had 1 hour a week to give to the Word of God, which of these two would bring the greatest profit to your soul? 1 hour alone with an open Bible, you reading your Bible for 1 hour, or going to church and sitting under an hour-long sermon of strong Bible preaching? Which of those two would most profit your soul? And the answer that the Puritans gave, in fact, it's somewhat stated even in the Westminster Confession, is that the greatest profit and benefit to your soul would be to sit under the preaching of the Word of God from a man who has studied, he has prayed, he is gifted by God, he is called by God. He breaks open the passage and he brings it home to your heart with exhortation and encouragement as well as challenge. So that's how vitally important the preaching of the Word of God is. If I could add one more thing, Todd. If you take the book of Acts, it's titled The Acts of the Apostles. That's really mistitled. If you read the book of Acts, it's not the Acts of the Apostles, it's the preaching of the apostles. One out of every four verses in the book of Acts is a sermon, or the equivalent of a sermon. Everyone talks about, oh, we want to have a New Testament church. We want to have a first century church. Great, then up your preaching, because the first century church was a preaching church. They were heralding, declaring, proclaiming the Word of God. Read Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost and re-examine again what it was like. That's what made them so strong, because they were sitting under the strong preaching of the Word of God. And that is so missing today in churches. We've canceled Sunday night preaching. We've canceled Wednesday night preaching. We have canceled Bible conferences. And we have shortened the Sunday morning sermon. And we can't figure out why the church is so weak and why we can't impact the world. We don't need less Bible preaching. We need more Bible preaching.
Expositor magazine for your pastor, wretched.org/magazine. You get drive-by theology. Your pastor gets messages like that. And these days, Dr. Lawson, the pressure for every single pastor to numerically grow a church is absolutely staggering.
It is.
The mailers, the offers, the YouTube videos that get sent, and the pressure frequently from people in the church. I notice we don't have as many people coming. Ugh, that pressure. And the pastor, while being mindful of numbers, is really got his eye set on something more profound, doesn't he?
Well, he does. And the tendency can be for a preacher who gets caught up in that game is to preach to the empty seats, to preach to who's not there and be whining about it, rather than preaching to the people who are there. And as they are really built up in their faith, their testimony lived out before the watching world will be used by God to bring people. So you worry about the depth of your preaching. Let God worry about the breadth of your ministry.
One of the questions that I always believe that somebody should ask if they're engaged with somebody with a different worldview, they're an atheist, a postmodern, two words, says who? Okay, you've got this idea about how the world should be run. Says who? What's your source of authority? Same question for the pastor. If he's Pastor Zippity-Doo-Dah, telling all kinds of stories about what he did when he just went on a vacation with his family or whatever movie that he watched on TV, you must say to that man, says who? Why should I listen to you? Which is why preaching the Bible is a component of building a strong and healthy church, because it establishes authority.
Absolutely. The preacher has nothing to say apart from the Word of God. He has nothing to say apart from the Word of God, because he knows that when the Bible speaks, God speaks, that the inaudible voice of God is coming through this text of Scripture. And so, therefore, he is, in essence, unleashing the power of God as he's preaching the Word of God. God put the power into the Word of God. The last sermon Martin Luther ever preached, 1546, he stood before the congregation in the hometown where he was born, in Eisleben, and said to them, you're looking for the power in all the wrong places. You think the power is in the relics. You think the power is in the pilgrimages. You think the power, and he began to list all the things that they were searching for in order to find the power of God. And Luther dramatically paused and he said, God put the power in the Bible. Preach the Bible, teach the Bible, believe the Bible, live the Bible, share the Bible. That's where the power is. And that's why our churches are impotent until the Bible is preached and proclaimed.
And it's pretty hard for that pastor who uses his experiences as the sermon text to then saddle up next to somebody who is straying and going off the reservation and say, hey, stop sinning. That person will go, says who?
Yeah.
Storyteller. The authority is in the Word of God. It drives the church. It drives discipline. It drives sanctification. It drives everything, which is why I would encourage you with all of the earnestness I can summon to get your pastor a subscription to Expositor Magazine. You can do that right now at wretched.org/magazine. If you do that for him, we will send you a gift, Dr. Steve Lawson, on drive-by theology, give or take about 40 systematic theology lectures
yeah.
that are based on, what did we do that? The Bible. You'll get that, and your pastor will get a magazine that encourages him to find the power in the preaching of the Word of God, and it will equip him to do so. Please consider getting this for him now. Wretched.org/magazine, wretched.org/magazine. Dr. Lawson, can't thank you enough. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.